Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and today, because it is a Friday, we are looking at some of the economics news of the week, just giving a roundup. And last week, we ended off the week speculating about whether or not the Moody's downgrade would actually come through, whether or not the ratings agency would have some mercy on South Africa, simply because all the countries around the world, all economies are going through the most at the moment. But they did decide to finally pull the trigger, and now South Africa does not have an investment grade status or from any of the big three ratings agencies, Fitch, S&P, and now Moody's. To discuss what this actually means, how it actually came about, and moving forward, what it may mean for the South African economy, we are joined by Jacques Nel, who is the head of Africa Macroeconomic Research at NKC African Economics. Jacques, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's show to discuss some of these issues. I think a good place for us to just start is, what are some of the reasons why Moody's ended up deciding to finally pull the trigger? Because for a long time, they sort of seemed like they were just hoping South Africa would get something right, but now they've decided to do so. Some people, there was speculation that perhaps because of COVID-19, they might just keep quiet and just hold off until the end of the year. What are some of the reasons why they have decided to finally pull the trigger on South Africa?
I think it's important to keep in mind that this has been coming for a while now, even before or long before the COVID-19 epidemic, you know, hit the globe. Yeah. And basically, it's primarily due to South Africa's weak economic growth. We haven't shown decent growth in almost a decade now. And this has also fed, but not the only reason why, we've also seen a significant deterioration in South Africa's fiscal position. The government balance remains wide, and a lot of the spending is on current spending and not investment spending. And this has, of course, led to inflation in the public debt bill, which is, of course, not a good sign for creditworthiness. It's also important to note that Fitch and S&P already decided to downgrade South Africa to junk status in 27 already. So Moody's kept on giving South Africa the chance to put in place the reforms that are going to support growth and improve the fiscal position. And then that just never happened. And that's almost what makes it sad that Moody's gave us such a long time to get our house in order. And now finally Moody's has given up and said they don't think we're going to do it in the foreseeable future. And now they've decided to pull the trigger.
It definitely sounds like none of this was really a surprise, at least for the economics community. Like you said, a lot of people, you know, sort of expected this to come. There was a lot of leeway, long runway in terms of time to get things right, but things didn't come right. What would it actually take to actually get back that investment grade with any of the three ratings agencies?
It's going to be very difficult. As you would imagine, it's a lot easier to lose your investment grade rating than get it back. And also that being said, it doesn't bode well for our prospects to get our investment grade rating back, given that all three rating agencies have our outlook now on negative, meaning they see a negative rating action in our foreseeable future rather than not. So that doesn't look good. But I guess you would just have to address the actual reasons that resulted in this credit rating downgrade, and that's getting the economy going again, recording some growth, and then also the associated positive impact on fiscal balances. First of all, containing the public wage bill or the public debt bill, and then improving on it, reducing that ratio over time. But these things are going to take a lot of time, and it's difficult to see, given the negative outlook already, when we're going to be considered investment grade again.
Now, practically speaking, how does this then affect South Africa? Because I understand, for example, that the Finance Minister Tito Mboweni has indicated that because of COVID-19, they are likely to seek some type of international funding from the IMF or the World Bank just to sustain some of the government's activities during this time. So, with the downgrade in mind, how do things like that now work?
Well, it's you never get a good time for a pandemic, but this was a particularly bad time for South Africa, given what's happening with its fiscal position. And even before the COVID, as I mentioned, even before COVID, there was already most people were expecting a downgrade this year. It was only a question of when and not whether we're going to get lose our final investment grade rating. So it's hard to distinguish what impact the actual downgrade had and what impact COVID internationally has had on the South African economy. So then just keeping that in mind, I think the Minister Mboweni's talks about looking for financial support has got a lot more to do with COVID, of course, because not only are we going to have to spend more that wasn't planned in the fiscal budget, but also, given that the economy looks like it's going to collapse this year, we're also going to suffer on the revenue side. So the fiscal situation is going to look even worse now. So we're going to have to look for some support externally. And that support's going to be directed towards just containing, first of all, containing, limiting the human costs associated with the virus, but then also to, try keep the economy going as far as possible. And that's going to be a big struggle.
And then I guess on that end, does having this negative rating, does that affect the country's ability to borrow, whether it's for COVID or any other purposes?
Well, what the loss of the investment grade rating technically means is that we've at the end of April, we're going to get kicked out of the World Government Bond Index. Now, this is a index that passive international funds track. So these investment funds with an investment mandate to invest in investment grade ratings almost have to invest in South Africa. But that also means that they aren't allowed to invest in South Africa once we've lost that final investment grade rating. So this means that there's a lot of capital that we won't be able to access anymore because of this. And now the question is, will that the additional capital be, or the additional borrowing be absorbed by either domestic markets or other international funds that don't have this investment grade mandate? And that's the big question. We are going to see outflows at the end of April because of this, but the question is, how much of this is going to be absorbed and how much inflows are we then going to see, or at least uptake of domestic by domestic investment funds.
I've actually, on that point, seen and heard figures saying that about 37 or 38% of South Africa's bonds are held by foreign entities at the moment, and that if all that money was to take flight, that would result in outflows of about 800 billion rand. Do you foresee that there will be a material impact on the rand, for example?
I don't think so. I think, given the external environment, if you look at the rand, you see at the end of or at the start of March, it already started this weakening trend, and there was a brief interruption just before the Moody's decision, but it's just continued that afterwards. So I think external developments are at the moment having a much larger impact on the rand and South Africa capital markets in general than what this Moody's downgrade had. That being said, it's difficult to estimates regarding the amount of outflow at the end of April vary from around $5 billion to $30 billion. So, it's anybody's guess how much that is going to be. But the more important question is, are those going to be replaced by other funds? If you look at South African debt, double-digit yields with a relatively high real interest rate and inflation that seems to be under control, that makes South African debt pretty attractive. But then, on the other side, you have to consider the rand, its historic volatility and its weakness at the moment, which investors are also going to have to keep an eye on. But generally speaking, South Africa's is some of the best junk-rated investments out there, and it's going to be important for us to keep that position. You know, even if we are rated junk, a lot of emerging markets are as well, and we're going to be competing with them, and we have to ensure that we remain attractive from an investment perspective.
I guess then switching over to COVID-19 itself, what have you observed in the last couple of weeks? It just seems to have been an evolving situation. First, COVID-19 seemed to have been one of those things that was affecting Asia and then Europe and then the States. And then we started seeing that global economic slowdown. There was a market sell-off. And then it touched our shores, and then there was a state of national disaster, and now we've just completed the first week of the lockdown. How have you seen that affecting us economically, I guess over time?
Yes, it's amazing how the situation has escalated just over the past month. 2 months ago, if you said that you expect a recession, a global recession, you know, nobody would have believed you. But now that seems to be the baseline for most analysts, a global recession. That just shows the reach of this pandemic. And you know, if you can, and South Africa is a small open economy and is very much in tune with what's happening in the rest of the world. So even if you exclude the actual impact of COVID on the domestic economy through the lockdown, the significant deterioration in the external environment is already going to have a very negative impact on our economic prospects. But now compound this with this lockdown and the implications this will have on economic activity domestically, and you know, that's two very big blows to our economic prospects. And you know, we expect a 4.9% economic contraction this year in South Africa, which again, a month ago, you would sound crazy if you said that that was going to happen. But now it seems everybody is expecting a contraction. The question is just how big.
I am actually very, very scared by the number you've just given us because I've sort of also been tracking every week. We've been hearing different revised numbers. I think 2 weeks ago we had Prof. Adrian Saville from the Gibbs Business School saying they were expecting negative 1%. Last week, Johan Els from Old Mutual was saying negative 2%, and now you're saying negative. You said 4.9%?
4.9%, yes.
That is just shocking. And now it's as if by the time a month from now, we might be talking even crazier numbers.
Yes, it's actually tragic that you can almost tell how recently a forecast has been made by how negative it is. But that's the reality. There's just so much uncertainty at the moment. And economists tend to say, you know, and risks remain tilted to the downside. But in my career, it hasn't been more true than now. We don't know how long the virus is going to be with globally, how long it's going to be a problem globally. And we also don't know how big, long it's going to be a problem domestically. We don't know if we are going to have to extend this lockdown. We know the lockdown is going to have a significant impact on the economy, but we're not sure what that magnitude is. So a lot of uncertainty going around and, you know, a lot of downside risk.
That's actually quite crazy. As we round up the discussion, I'm then interested to understand how the region is perhaps being affected by the COVID-19 crisis. For the countries that you look at specifically, what's been the impact? Have they felt the shock more or less than what South Africa has?
Well, South Africa has been hardest hit by the virus, just in terms of infections and deaths. Some of the North African countries as well, just because of their connections to Europe. But we do think that, you know, this year is going to be a very bad year economically for Africa, and we also expect annual contraction in African GDP growth. That's not just due to the bigger economies like Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa suffering, because these have, of course, a big impact on their respective regions as they are the cornerstone of their regional economies. But also the impact on global tourism, that a lot of these economies are really dependent on tourism, especially in East Africa. Commodity prices have slumped, you know, energy prices have collapsed. That doesn't look good for Angola, Nigeria, Gabon, all the energy exporters. Mining, of course, a lot of Southern African countries are really dependent on their mining exports, so that doesn't look good for their external balances. And then, of course, there's the actual pandemic. Africa hasn't been that infected beyond South Africa and North Africa, but that surely won't remain the case. And then it's going to be all up to how these governments respond and how they are able to contain the infections. And hopefully we don't see another African tragedy.
So a contraction in the African economy, and then I guess crossing the pond over to what's going on in the US because it tends to lead a lot of trends. I understand that the US jobs report recently came out. What is that looking like, and how is that likely to, perhaps either impact or I guess sort of set the tone for what's going on in other parts of the world?
Yes, the jobless claims rocketed to, I think, around 6.6 million for last week, which is unfounded. It's never been that high. And that first of all, that gives a reflection of how severe the impact is on the American economy. And given that they're a few weeks ahead with their containment efforts, that doesn't bode well for the impact on the South African economy. And also, if you think of the US economy, it must be one of the more robust economies internationally, and South Africa, not so. So that's also another sign that this is going to be quite a tough year for the South African economy.
No. It just sounds so dire, the situation. So that's been it for today's show. Quite a sober, toned show, just talking about the Moody's downgrade, finally being the last ratings agency to give South Africa to send them into junk status. Just talking about some of the issues that actually led to South Africa getting that status, and then just talking about the COVID-19 crisis. I guess as we end off, Jacques, are there any green shoots, any opportunities, any good news on the horizon, or is it all just bleak at the moment?
Yes, this is quite a difficult topic to find any silver lining in. But I do think we have to keep in mind that a lot of or the South African economy's future is in the hand of our governments and policymakers. There are a few steps we can take. I think that's the entire discussion on its own. But if we make the correct sounds after this virus, because it is going to blow over sometime, we just have to make sure that we one of the more attractive investment destinations internationally, and that's all up to policymakers. So, I think we have to look forward. It's going to be a tough year next year, probably also, but we have to look forward. Over 5 years' time, or can we create this environment where we are one of the more flourishing economies internationally?
So that's been it, and a fascinating discussion with Jacques Nel, who is the head of Africa Macroeconomic Research at NKC African Economics. He's just highlighting the fact that the year is likely to be a bleak one, and a lot of what needs to be done in terms of getting South Africa back on the right track will be in the hands of policymakers, and what type of things they put in place to make sure that the economy grows and actually address some of the concerns by ratings agencies such as Moody's. He's also just talking about the fact that the South African economy is likely to contract. They are at the moment forecasting a negative 4.9% contraction in the economy, and at the same time saying that the African economy as a whole is likely to experience a contraction as well. The other thing he also highlights is the fact that the US jobs report is indicative of how one of the most robust economies in the world has been affected by COVID-19, which does not bode well for other so-called lesser economies or smaller economies, such as the South African economy, and that a lot of what's likely to happen in the currency markets will be driven by what's going on in global markets. So that's been it in terms of for today's Business Day Spotlight. Thank you so much to Jacques for joining us.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
It's quite scary just seeing, just hearing, observing, looking at how the deterioration is just snowballing, and it's not something that's in your face. It's not something that you can just see happening on the face of things, because obviously right now we see that everyone is at home, a lot of people at home, there aren't a lot of cars on the road, people are indoors, shops are closed, etc. So from that point of view, you sort of see how the economy is being affected. But on the side of economic growth, that's more insidious, that's less in your face. And as I said in the actual show, it's quite scary seeing that projection of negative projections that's coming every week. We started off with negative 1% that came in. One of the themes that we've spoken about a lot on the Business Day Spotlight is this issue of economic growth. We had a show recently, must have been at the end of February or into March, where we spoke about how I think the World Bank at the time had revised South Africa's economic growth, which had started the year being forecast at 1% growth for the year. And then the World Bank took it down to 0.8%. Then from there, COVID-19 struck. And then the first numbers that we heard, negative 1%, that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week we heard negative 2%. And today we're now hearing negative 4.9%. So that trend, and that's an escalating trend, because the gap from 0.8% to negative one, that's a 1.8 percentage point change. And then now getting it from there all the way now down to negative 4.9%, it's quite scary from that point of view. Definitely one of the things that I see that, you know, adds to some of what makes it scary is this ratings downgrade, because it's quite likely that because South Africa has this negative outlook at the moment and has that junk status, that borrowing money from some of the institutions is going to be either harder or it's going to come at higher cost. And one of the highest and one of the costs that the government has been struggling with is debt financing costs for some of these international loans and stuff like that, which are likely to then go up and then thereby affecting South Africa's ability to recover from COVID-19 when the actual virus and the threat is done, actually moving forward from that point. So quite scary, but we remain hopeful and just, you know, as Jacques said, it's all in the hands of policymakers. We hope that people are able to make tough decisions and actually put us on a path to recovery. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live on Twitter, where hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.